It is not hard to destroy a college.
Last season, the podcast Campus Files brought you stories of fraternity drug rings, stolen body parts, campus cults, and more.
And now Campus Files is back for another season.
There's a guy screaming into his phone. He's like, I just saw Charlie Kirk get assassinated right in front of me.
Every week is a new episode and a new story.
It was so chaotic.
It's almost like a university under siege.
Listen to and follow Campus Files, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Here we go. It's hour number one of the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. Thanks for making us part of your day as we're off and running here on a Wednesday, a Rangers game day. Pre-game's coming up at 6:30. I'm going to open up with a potentially inflammatory and controversial topic.
Okay, I am all ears.
By the way,
just the teachers again.
You're going to piss the Rangers off again?
No.
Is it about the candy
and
the
immediately.
Chocolate?
Not about the candy and the chocolate. Although I did find it entertaining last night how many people are bailing you out for one of the worst food takes.
Come on.
I have hot food takes and I get crushed. Everybody's lining up to take their shot. You have a horrible food take, worse than anyone I've ever had, and people are like, oh, it's okay, Wolchuk, I hear you.
Yeah, because it makes perfect sense. I think anybody with a brain can understand the logic here. I'm wrong. By definition, I am wrong. I will raise my hands and say I'm wrong, but I think it is logical.
I was willing to meet you at there should be additional words.
Yeah.
You know, we have overcomplicated the English language in so many ways. We have redundancies in our words. But when it comes to deciphering what is the difference between chocolate and other kinds of candy, it's kind of no man's land.
We've just gone lazy about it.
I'm willing to meet you there. But
thank you.
I mean, you declared it yesterday as if chocolate's not candy.
I did.
That was your initial.
Well, once you're in there, man, you just got to keep fighting. You got to swing.
Well, I'm going to hit you with a Cowboys question here. Not a take, but a question. You decide where to take it here in just a second. General at your service, at ease. There's Broadus, the former Cowboy Scout, Super Bowl champion. Lucius Alexander's in the Pimp Cup over here. Master Control 75 and 635, feathering his nest. Fixing to go 4.5 flawless. You have Eric Chiafalo, Zach Wolchuk. You have Austin Nix coordinating your video. And along with you, we are the G-Bag Nation here on 105 through the Fan. You can get us with the Odyssey app. You can get us on YouTube. And soon, you'll be able to get us on Sirius XM. Isn't that cool?
It's so cool, dude.
How about that, yeah.
We're going to have our own satellite radio channel.
Yeah.
That
we can
badass.
Swear on.
Nice job by Odyssey. I'd say nice job by Odyssey, wouldn't you?
I would, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Hell yes, Odyssey.
Well played, yeah.
A little partnership here where 105 through the Fan's going to have, you know, I always get the free subscription when you get a new car from D&M Leasing. It's good for 3 months or 6 months or something like that. Back in the day, sometimes they wouldn't turn it off for like a year or two.
You know? They forget.
But they got better at that recently, which it's always disappointing when it runs out, but I might have to get a permanent subscription here to support the cause.
It's absolutely worth it.
Yeah, I think it's great.
It's absolutely worth it.
All your different entertainment options and all the different music and stuff like that. So top 100 list is out. Second straight year, CeeDee Lamb drops 20 spots, clocking in at number 55. He was 35 last season. He was 13th in 2024 at 877-881-1053. How would you guys answer the question, has CeeDee Lamb peaked?
This is what we're going with.
Does he match the description of a guy?
Go get him, chocolate man.
Who looks like he's enjoyed the fruits of his labor?
I think the only knock on CeeDee would be the health, and he just has been a little banged up the last couple of years. So availability, there's got to be something there. I think ranking him at 55 is ridiculous, and this list has been totally ridiculous. This should be it. They should retire it. They shouldn't do this anymore. I don't think players know what the hell they're voting on. I'd bet they're probably ranking their own teammates 1 through 10, and that's why this thing gets totally skewed. But to have CeeDee Lamb at 55, has he peaked? No. I think that he's incredibly productive. He's consistent year in and year out. 2023, we might look back on, and statistically, that's his best season.
100%. I think that's pretty much a guarantee.
That could happen.
It's hard to duplicate 181 targets, 135 catches, almost 1,800 yards, and 12 touchdowns.
Especially when you're playing with George Pickens. Now, does he play with George Pickens after this year? That remains to be seen. So next year, if he ends up playing with Flannoy as his wide receiver too, and they don't address that, and it's just Flannoy and CeeDee Lamb, maybe the target share goes up again. But I don't think he's peaked. I think that definitely the one area that he really can focus on is the drops. And he was second in the league in drops last year, and it seemed like they all came in the two Eagles games.
Yeah, there were quite a few drops. I would say at the end of 2023, you had the high-profile moment in the Packers game where he has lost his stuff.
You were very critical of him. And understandably so.
Very unprofessional. He is tracking to me as a guy that loves the lifestyle and the status of being a superstar. And I think early in his career, it was undeniable that he was putting in all of the work that it would take to hit that peak. But it is a well-traveled road and a familiar story that a lot of guys, once they get that massive payday, the same amount of hunger that got them there dissipates. It's natural. It's human nature.
Yeah.
You want to bite off any of that candy bar there, Brian? Any of those fruit chews?
Yeah, I
you
was
good there.
No, I was just looking
at a Rolo.
I was just looking at the. I was trying to kind of dig on some things about this, about some of the things, the routes and things, and separation and things like that. I think there was a time where George Pickens was the best receiver on this team last season.
Yeah, that's kind of where I was going to conclude this, is if you feel like Pickens at 25
yeah.
has a brighter future than CeeDee at 27, I think this is a big year for CeeDee.
Yeah.
If you're picking, we're only keeping one wide receiver.
The biggest difference between the two is it's the ability to run routes and the ability to play at different spots. Mm-hmm. That's the biggest thing. And you wonder, how does George Pickens, how is he a better player when he is not as well-rounded as CeeDee, and I hope I'm using the right word, well-rounded, because yeah. CeeDee can line up in the slot. He can line up outside. I think the drops were a problem. I think CeeDee Lamb is extremely tough. I mean, he played with that shoulder problem. You know, he got really banged up, and he kept playing, sometimes to his detriment. But I worry about him when it comes to the mental toughness if things start to go a little bad. You know, and maybe that if the game is not going in the right way, that he struggles with that. He struggles with frustration. He struggles with, you know, instead of just fighting through, you know, the game itself, like, okay, they're trying to take me out of this game today. I got to find ways to to elevate my game. And I think that he gets way too emotional during a game. And I think that affects the way he plays. And maybe all wide receivers are that way. I just notice him more when things start
to... His body language can get really bad.
Yeah, when he starts to... You start to think, you're watching him play, and you and I have the opportunity, Eric, and everybody sits up in the press box, and you could tell when the ball is not thrown his direction. And you're right about body language, and you see the frustration route to route, and you're like going... Man, he just does not have it today, or he's not feeling it today. If there's something he could work on is just staying locked in the entire game. And if you're drawing coverage and it's helping somebody else, great. Just keep running your routes, keep doing everything. But there were times last year where I thought that Pickens was a better player. And a lot of it had to do with Lamb losing focus in games.
Well, his reception rate, is that what it's called? Down 10%. You know, in 2023, he caught 75% of the passes that were thrown at him. Last year, it was 64%. And you know, maybe that is focus. Maybe that's, you know, just the kind of passes that were thrown to him, more downfield passes. There's a lot of stuff that goes into it. His yak is down about 15%. And I'm not saying CD's a bad player. He's still clearly a top 10 wide receiver in the game, maybe number one. George Pickens said he was number one recently, yeah. Which I thought was a great teammate move. But he's clearly top five or six in the NFL with no doubt about it. I just wonder if 2023 was the heights and how you would react if this season isn't a bounce back year or is another year down the path of, you know, maybe slight decline.
I think if he is banged up again and he's unable to stay healthy, then there will be a serious conversation about what do we do between those two receivers. And that's when you can have a conversation about, is it worth it keeping Pickens long term and maybe trying to flip a CeeDee Lamb.
Other players still on the roster who made the rankings last year, Dak Prescott, who was 79 last year. He's going to be way higher than that. Rashawn Gary, number 80 with the Packers. Maybe he deserves it, but I think at this point, if you're inside the top 60 and his name hasn't been called yet, he's not going to be there. Quinnen Williams was number 87 with the Jets last year. He's still to come, isn't he? Quinnen Williams for sure, top 40, something
absolutely
like that. Probably not going to get Tyler
with this list.
Probably not going to get Tyler Smith in there, which is crazy because you know the list last week he was considered one of the top guards in the NFL. But yeah, these players are, I think, maybe are caring even less than they usually do with this particular edition. Jason Robertson got the deal done with the Stars, 1 year and $12 million. You like that, Wolchuk?
I love what Jim Neal did, because now you avoid arbitration, and maybe the Stars would have gotten a win in that, because you never know, could have fallen under 12. I don't know that it would have, but the big picture is clearly Robo wants to be here. I was actually talking with Shibby, who was DJing at Cosm, and Shibby's the Stars DJ, and talking with players on the team, like Robo does want to be in Dallas. This is really the only place he wants to be, but I do think he wants to get his money, and he wants to be paid fairly. So now this allows the team the flexibility. Once Sagan comes off the books, they can give him the money he wants. So great job by Jim Neal and all the parties involved. 1 year, $12 million. But you could still trade him if indeed that opportunity presented itself again.
So do you play this year out and next year you get a long-term deal done?
I think that's probably what will happen.
Rangers glory last night, but another injury. And Skip saying earlier with KNC Masterpiece, the strained calf will likely keep him out of today's lineup.
Yes.
Give him a couple days off, tomorrow day off, and then Friday back in action. Hopefully Josh Jung is going to be good to go.
Calf. Yeah, good luck.
You know?
Good luck.
I think that that could be a while.
Yeah, it could be a while. I mean, that's something, you know, I mean, there's so many things, especially with baseball, you know, all the things that they do. And anytime you hear a calf injury, you know, think about guys like – historic calf injury. How about a guy like Aaron Rodgers? You know, in that season for the Packers, he was dealing with that the whole year. You know, you keep playing, never gets
Dak.
I mean, yeah, it's so long, you know, because it has to be right. You just can't go out there and, oh, we got a little bit of a calf strain. He's going to miss a while. I'm just saying he's going to miss a while with this.
I could see that, you know, maybe just DHing him for a while and pinch running. Did he do it trying to leg it out, trying to hustle on
just
the base pass?
First to third in the third inning. But
that was embarrassing.
That's why Wyatt Langford stops at third now. Have you kind of figured that out?
Not pushing it.
Yeah, Wyatt Langford, if the ball, like you're thinking, Wyatt Langford's going to score on this single here.
Yeah.
He stops at third automatically. He's like, nah, I'm not too eager to try and make this thing work at home plate today.
Catchers figured it out like 13 years ago. Nothing's worth a collision at the plate.
Yeah.
One run is not worth it, and I'm sure it offends the baseball sensitivities of purists, you know, that played this game hard back in the day. But there's been a lot of business decisions being made in baseball because it's an everyday sport. It's 162 games, and one run is not worth it. Maybe the NFL, you know, risking getting over the goal line to win one game, considering you probably won't get hurt, is worth it. Higashioka going on the IL with a flexor tendon issue of some kind. They've been getting right at catcher this year, though. I think that's a position you can absorb. Kamar Rocker was outstanding last night. Six innings of one-hit ball.
Yeah, super efficient.
Is that the first time he's won a game in like 50-something days?
Yeah, it's been a while. I mean, I think he only had two wins coming into that game. The year.
Yeah, he's 3-8 on the year.
I kind of felt like that it was like the last time that Reagan was in office when he won a game.
When he spends an absolute gem, which happens about once a month,
what I'm
he
saying.
Wins.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. No, when he is on,
it's true.
He's just got to get through that first inning.
Yeah,
when first inning, he could do some good for you.
When he is mowing him down like that, you're like, dude, this is the future.
Yeah,
why can't he do this every time?
You get excited. I mean, that whole team, Nimmo was awesome last night. What he did, I mean, yeah, that was a full team victory. That you start to think, okay, maybe this team's got it.
It'll be Tyler Alexander, who I think is kind of a spitting image of our comedian friend Scott Bedgood.
He does look like Bedgood, man, with the bald head and the mustache.
Yeah,
similar bone structure.
Yeah,
and they're both hilarious.
Did you guys go to Bedgood last night? Did you make it up there to Plano?
I couldn't get a sitter.
I'm a Fort Worth dude. It was just very, very challenging. So unfortunately, I missed that.
He'll be back in town soon. And in the meantime, we have Tyler Alexander against the lefty Anthony Kaye.
We'll be there, bro. We got your back. You're our guy.
I'm sorry. I couldn't get there. I couldn't stomach at
remind
like 10
myself
o'clock
not to call you guys so we get thrown in jail
driving home from Plano to Fort Worth at like 10 o'clock last night. Yeah. I couldn't stomach doing that.
Really?
He's got a lot of great content online, though.
Yeah.
Were you faking an injury? Were you going to fake an injury?
No injury fakes. Just brutal honesty about the geography.
Did you let him know?
The distance. Yeah. Just sorry, man. I wish I could do it. Yeah. Probably 5 seconds before he went on stage. That was probably a good confidence.
Did you time it just right to where he could answer back?
He's waiting. Where is he?
He's looking at the crowd. Where's Eric? Where's Zach? Those guys promised me they'd be here.
No, I never confirmed with him I was going. I'm out on this one.
I got about 60 seconds on soccer here for you as Spanish midfielder Gavi, I think you say it.
I like Gavi.
Which was my mom's nickname for me as a kid. Greg Henson.
Gavi.
Says Argentina should not be punished for their post-game fracas at the end of the World Cup. Fracas? Punch? I think at least three Spaniards got punched.
Yeah, I think it was dirty as hell. I think they should be probably stripped from all of their awards.
He says, I realize it doesn't set a good example for the children, but there's also that side of football that's a bit more violent. These are actual quotes. I thought I was getting ball sacked. I had to Google it up and read the full story. He says, the most logical thing in my view would be to send him off during the match and leave it at that. But as I say, at the end of the day, I think it's all part of football, and that's just the way it has to be.
It's just the way it is.
How can you have rules where
you're going to be a sore loser, man? That's just what's going to happen.
If you put in a slightly reckless challenge, you're out for that game and the next one. But by all means, go ahead and punch people afterwards if you don't win the World Cup while they're trying to celebrate the greatest moment of their life. Unbelievable.
That is a hell of a take, dude.
I mean, that's something. But I tell you what, these Spaniards have almost taken pride in turning the other cheek. Like, oh, it's okay. You guys are freaking out. We understand. You lost. Oh, you punched me? Oh, I have sympathy for you.
Yeah, we just feel sad for you.
It is like next level Mother Teresa stuff with these guys.
I read a headline that the Spanish players got their weight in tomatoes for winning the World Cup. That was real?
A couple of them did, yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah, I think I'd want something a little bit better. I mean,
their weight in tomatoes.
Yeah. Here you go.
Maybe they love tomatoes.
But now I have all these tomatoes that I have to figure out where to store them.
Yeah, that's a burden.
It feels more like a burden than anything.
Yeah.
FCD back in action tonight, 9:30. MLS returns. They're in Portland to take on the Timbers.
They were beating the Heat. That's when you said that. I'm like, dude, God, it's a late start for them in here.
It's a scorcher out there today, boys.
Abby had a practice this morning on turf. 105 degrees.
Oops.
You could see the heat waves coming off. She got in the car, and I felt like she was 10 minutes from a heat stroke, so be careful out there.
How is she doing? Didn't she have some issues with heat stuff?
Yeah, she has in the past. Yeah, man. She has. It does not go well early in this summer. By the time you get to September or so, she's adjusted, but yeah, she was in bad shape. So be careful. Be hydrated. And we'll see on the other side. should be cooling off maybe in a couple of weeks, a little bit. I mean, we got to get out of the hundreds, but I think before we go lower, we're going higher. It's going to be 108 one day next week.
It's going to stick around for a while.
This heat dome. And we got a heat dome over us
Vortex.
I'm telling you, we kind of understand this. How about the people like in North Dakota and stuff like that when it's 100 degrees up there?
Yeah.
You know, up there in Wisconsin. I lived up there for 5 years. Man, if it's like 83 degrees, they're struggling.
Yeah.
I couldn't imagine being up there, you know, with...
A lot of folks with no AC.
No AC up
there. It's that hot up there right now, too?
Yeah, they got they got this thing called the heat dome. You know?
It's approaching 100 in Minneapolis.
Yeah.
Okay, we got to run. Champ on the other side, then Woolchuck's top 10. Where are you taking it?
All right, let's talk top 10 weirdest athlete superstitions next to the nation.
Sometimes it feels like the news is full of things that have never happened before. And that is not exactly true. In fact, it may have happened this very week, hundreds or thousands of years ago. I'm Sally Helm, host of the podcast History This Week from the History Channel. Trade embargoes? Thomas Jefferson tried them. Rent too high? We've been arguing about that for a while. Each episode is proof. The past isn't that far away. Listen to History This Week, available now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, Nation. It's time now for a G-Bag of the Day champion is... You'll find out why Fred Davis still sits atop this bad boy after a vote off yesterday. And then we'll get to Woolchuck's top 10 here coming up in just a second. Segments brought to you by the Frankels. If you've been injured in a car or truck wreck, call the Frankels first, 214 or 817-333-3333. There is never an out-of-pocket cost. They only get paid when you win. The Frankels are the go-to car and truck wreck attorneys in Dallas. Let's go into the Pimp Cup where Lucius
is
the champ.
Yeah, going for three today at 5:30 is our very own Fred Davis, the host of the Fan After Dark show. he heard a bit. Well, obviously, we got some new information on this. He didn't hear the bit.
Yeah.
Trap House Trevor, who was going to be producing the show for Fred that day coming in, I think it was maybe a Saturday or a Sunday. I'm not for sure which day it was of the weekend. But Trap House Trevor put the battery in Fred's back. They stole your bit, son. They stole your bit. You going to let them get away with this? So Fred called in the Westwood One to figure out what was going on.
We got Fred in Dallas. He's got a bone to pick with us, which let's pick it. What do you got, Fred?
Let's pick it.
I'm just curious where you came up with the idea for fair or foul.
Well, I've heard that you think that somehow we jacked the idea.
I mean, radio can be a very unforgiving business. So yeah. I just figured, you know, somebody who listens to
Fred,
one
first of all,
regular
fair or foul has been alive in the sports radio, sports talk medium since I've been a little guy back in the early 80s. And by no means did anybody at Westwood One jack that segment. If you're going to come to me and ask me if we stole a segment, please have it be something like a little more original than fair or foul.
Come on, bro.
Just ask me where you got the idea from, Pete. You're here in Dallas, so I just asked you a question. Where you got the idea for the segment from?
Well, to be honest with you, I fill in on Westwood One, and the segment was already here because the guy who hosts the show and does a phenomenal job, it's his segment, and it's his producer segment. But for them, I will tell you that if you're going to call a radio station and say you jacked my bit and treat us like Carlos Mencia.
Oh, I called and asked. It's fair. I mean, I'm asking you, man to man.
Actually, it's foul.
Oh.
Okay. To be honest, I mean, honestly, like nobody's ripping off your radio ideas, dude. I can promise you that. And the only reason I have contention in my voice is because I know you called to challenge us.
I asked the question. Where did you get the segment from? You said where you got it from. That's it. I don't need anything else. You said the guy before you did it, period. Never heard him do it. Just ask a question. That's all I ask. I don't need your background or anything like that. Care less. Just ask you where you got
it. Care less. A great line.
Fred, take it easy on the coffee, brother. We'll talk to you.
I have no idea.
I just want to know where you got the bit, Pete. I said where you got the bit, Pete.
Man to man.
Where'd you get it? Man to man.
I don't need your background.
I don't need a background.
I could care less.
That's the best line.
Yeah.
I could care less.
That's expert arguing from Fred.
Where'd you get the bit?
He was maybe taking a minor L, you know, just objectively speaking
and
here.
And then he stood back on that L when he said, I'm coming to you man-to-man, though.
Yeah. He absolutely did.
I'm asking you, Pete.
He salvaged some kind of win in there. I guess the other piece of info in this story is he had just quit nicotine like 48 hours earlier.
Okay, well,
yeah.
That's Trap House Trevor, look what you did, bro.
Yeah, that nicotine quit will make you look cranky for a couple.
Trevor knew what he was doing.
Yeah. You going to let him talk to you like this, son? On the radio? National?
You let this guy punk you?
You going to let him do you like this?
He set up fair or foul the same way you do, Fred.
He said the exact same verbiage and everything, like line for line.
I heard your segment on the radio.
It felt icky.
Yeah. Hadn't heard the other guy ever do it. Excellent work from Fred.
Thanks, Pete.
I mean, props to him for calling the dude up.
I know. And being honest with the producer about what he was calling in about. Because he could have just ball-sacked him like, I'm Fred, with a sports take and catch him off guard a little bit.
Yeah.
But Pete was already aware of what Fred was coming to do.
I think Pete knows how I felt when Jared Sandler called me those two times. No.
I think so.
Yeah. Not apples to apples.
Well, yeah. I mean, that turned into just a total kerfuffle.
Yeah.
Pete wasn't as contentious.
Well, speaking of kerfuffles, it's time for Wolchuk's Top 10. Here he is, Zach with an H.
Top 10 oddest athlete superstitions. 877-881-1053. You guys, you got any weird ones?
Yeah, Eric's going to say pee on the hands thing. Go ahead, Eric.
You pee on your own hands?
No, I personally have not done that. And I don't even know that it was a superstition necessarily. It was just a tactic to get yourself ready to play. It was more logical than anything else.
Yeah, we're not hitting the ball very well, so let's pee on our hands.
Yeah, well, you don't want your hands to get all torn up during spring training. Yeah. You gotta strengthen them.
Right.
It's just like any other routine that you would have. Lifting weights, like lifting weights, isn't a superstition. It's just this is how I get ready to be a professional athlete. Mm.
Helps with the calluses, right?
For sure. The calluses.
So, yeah,
you don't want to get the blisters.
It's like,
you don't want to be the guy that's on the injury report with a blister.
Not a blister.
Especially as the pitcher.
Yeah, but anybody, really. Did you ask some Rangers? Would you let a teammate pee on your hands?
Yeah. A couple of them said, if it would help.
For another championship, absolutely.
Yeah, they said it would. It would help.
We also asked him about the cup situation, and we see from ruptured testicle man with the Athletics, you know, a cup might actually serve you well.
Great story from Booney today on with the morning show, and he said he got nailed in the ball sack region. And from that day on, he always wore a cup. So all it takes is one time, and then you realize, you know what? Maybe the cup's not a bad idea. I need the extra layer of protection.
When did it become a bad idea to begin with?
I think some players just don't think they need it.
If the,
it's restrictive.
I'll do a research project on that real quick. Let me see.
It is uncomfortable, you know, to try to play sports in one.
It doesn't feel natural.
Yeah, it is uncomfortable to get hit with a 109-mile-an-hour ball.
So as a catcher, 100% I'm wearing it.
Definitely. Yeah.
You know?
Pitcher?
Third baseman, I'm feeling pretty good. Maybe pitcher. Yeah, because you're so close.
Oh, man, you're
a line driver.
Pitcher, you got to go, right?
For sure.
Maybe. 60 feet?
Yeah, yeah. You know, you just don't have the reaction time necessary.
You see that pitcher last night, I think he almost got, was it the night before? Or last night almost got hit. Young might have hit a ball up the middle last night and almost hit him in the face.
Yes. Yeah. He almost had a line drive situation.
Yeah.
That was scary. That would be awful.
6'10 pitcher out there getting a line drive to the face.
Well, cool. I do have a throwback story that maybe I'll do in the Newsbag Nation if you guys can stomach it, but there was an all-time MLB nut rupturing situation.
Oh, man.
It was actually, I think, in Seattle.
Really?
Dawson.
Maybe you were on the board.
In the late 90s.
Yeah, okay,
you were probably too hammered on the board to even know.
Edgar Martinez, take one to the crotch.
No, it was a pitcher.
What makes a better nutsack?
It was a pitcher.
Was it Randy Johnson?
He's got quotes. No, it was not the big unit.
All right, Randy.
That's why I say the big unit, right?
Looking forward to it.
Yep. Lucius, do you have any superstitions?
Don't let your girl's purse hit the ground.
Okay.
Keep your girl's purse off the ground. Keeps money in the family.
Oh, wow. Hmm.
480 said played at baseball.
You got me on that one.
Spare! I heard the brakes in there.
You can see Lucius diving in the middle of a public restaurant to save a person from touching the ground.
Yeah, look like OJ in the airport.
Always two chili cheese conies, tots, and cherry limeade slushy from Sonic was the pregame meal. That sounds awful.
Coney sounds amazing.
What sport are we playing doing? Baseball? Wow.
Right. Honorable mention on Michael Jordan
shorts. Oh, this is before games?
Well, this is sports superstitions.
Sports superstitions. Okay, I wore my my middle school shorts under most of my uniforms.
Okay. So that ended up being kind of like compression shorts in a way?
In a sense, by the time I got to like 11th grade, yeah, but they would still fly.
Jason Giambi's magic golden thong.
I think that was Jordan's. Didn't he wear his college trunks? Under his Bulls trunks?
Yeah, he did.
That's probably where we got it from.
He wore his national championship UNC shorts under his uniform in every NBA game. Yeah,
we weren't original. We just stole it from Jordan.
Those must have been fitting him like underwear because he was in college in like the early 80s. Those were some bike.
Can you imagine that?
Gym teacher shorts, dang near.
Number 10 is Patrick Mahomes' red underwear.
1980 coaching shorts, those bikes, shorts.
The gray ones.
I didn't know this. Mahomes' wife apparently gifted him a pair of red undies ahead of his first season with the Chiefs, and he's worn the same ones in every game he's played ever since.
And he's never washed them, right?
Never washed them.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Whew.
Sidney Crosby, speaking of jock straps, his. He had already established himself as one of the best rising hockey players in Canada when he made the leap to the junior level, joined this random team, I can't say the name of it, Rimouski Oceanic of the Quebec Major Junior Hockey League. His list of equipment included a black Reebok jock strap that has somehow stood the test of time. He's worn that for every single game of his NHL career. Connor McDavid's socks. Yeah, that's held up nicely. Sid the Kid, not the only superstar who's still clinging to the past. Connor McDavid developed an affinity for a particular brand of socks that's provided him with an ideal grip that was unique for what he wanted to do in terms of skating.
Okay.
Unfortunately, the company that made them eventually stopped producing them, and his solution was just to keep the ones that he's got, and he's never worn another pair. That's got to be disgusting.
That is, especially in hockey, dude. The hockey stuff gets really
so stinky,
really nasty.
The mildew smell, overwhelming.
If you smell a pair of hockey gloves, good luck. Serena Williams socks as well. She wears the same socks. She's won 73 singles tournaments, 23 grand slams, and she's worn the same socks for every match.
Surprised they don't get holes in them or something. Like just get totally tore up.
They stitch
Are you
them
mending
up?
Those? Yeah,
maybe. I mean, you probably pay for somebody to fix those up for you. with the way these people are making money.
Somebody will pay you to fix them up.
Yeah, that's true.
Either that or just blatantly lying.
Yeah, like they're not the same pair, but they are the same pair. Sock, yeah. Jason Terry's pajama shorts. Jason Terry started wearing basketball shorts to bed when he was in college, and he took things to the next level after heading to the NBA by amassing a sizable collection that allowed him to wear a pair worn by the team he was facing off against in the next game to bed. He also ate chicken before every single game, a habit he now shares with his son.
That's beautiful. I think Brian Westbrook did the same thing with the Eagles. I think he would always wear either the night before or during, like, while he was actually playing, like, Eagles-Cowboys, Brian Westbrook might have been wearing, like, Cowboys boxers or something under his, or it was the night before sleeping, just like the Jet. But that's, I guess, somewhat common.
Caron Butler's Mountain Dew.
Jason the Jet Terry, by the way, I've seen him out in the clubs twice this summer.
Okay. Summer?
Yeah, this summer.
Overage or raging?
What?
How's he looking?
He's chilling, but it's the fact that you just said the pajamas. He's always wearing sweatpants, bro. I'm talking about in places where it's a strict dress code, where you have to wear a certain thing to get in there. You see Jason the Jet Terry with some slides on and some sweatpants in the section. You're like, I'll be damned.
I can't even wear my hat in here.
You got to win the championship,
but
bro.
But it's Jet, man. He's easy access.
I'm actually glad to hear that. I'm glad he's getting that kind of respect around
here. They let him right on in there.
Yeah, he deserves that.
Looking sloppy.
He's like, you see my Larry O'Brien trophy? Come on, I'm a captain around here. Caron Butler, speaking of Mavs champions, Mountain Dew. You need plenty of energy. Caron Butler, who turned to caffeine while playing basketball at UConn before heading to the NBA. However, he didn't drink coffee, but a 2-liter bottle of Mountain Dew for every NBA game.
Whoa.
Until Kobe forced him to quit when he joined the Lakers. Kobe was like, no, we're not doing that.
He always did look kind of puffy. That's a lot of sugar.
That's a lot.
But you would be energized.
You would be. Yeah. Well, Mountain Dew, that's, long nights, gaming.
That'll get you jacked up.
Oh, I'm all jacked up on Mountain Dew. John Henderson's slapping ritual is on here.
Oh, yeah.
He would just ask to be slapped in the face by somebody from the team, like a coach or whoever.
It's
before
funny.
He walked onto the field.
The video that has surfaced.
The trainer, right?
Yeah, it's the trainer who's... who's all of like 5'7", the tiniest dude in the world, and he's smacking the biggest guy in the locker room.
Jerry Tarkanian's towel. We talked about him a few weeks ago.
Yeah. He used to chew on the towel during
did
the game.
Was it soaked in something? Was he getting any type of
I think it was just a dry
flavor
towel.
From that? Just dry,
dry
towel.
Yeah, dry towel.
Yeah. Unbelievable.
any kind of flavor.
would you think if I'm chewing on a towel.
This one
where's
lemon?
Where's my peppermint towel?
Let me get a little flavor
that
in this
raspberry
towel.
Was awful last time.
And a student manager was responsible for handling this, much like the old poop towels.
Yeah.
For the Kansas
kid. Would you rather do the Tarkanian suck towels?
Some guy in Kansas is now working. Some guy in Kansas is working in a bank somewhere talking about having to clean up the towels after that fat man.
He sees a therapist twice a day. Yeah.
Number one, though, is Les Miles' grass-eating habit. That's a weird one.
The Mad Hatter.
Yeah, he had to eat some of the grass from the field before every game.
Grass-fed tradition.
By the way, Taylor Farms still hanging in there with me.
No Kleispora yet?
No, man. That's wise tale. You guys,
fake news.
The momentum died down.
Fake news. You guys were just, you missed the opportunity to eat some salad in your life because you were scared of some virus.
It's a punishment, Dad. Yeah.
Well, from a bag of salad to a little news bag nation, we transition here on the Fan Chief. Where are we going?
A great new opportunity to work in sports if you're looking for it next.
Hey, it's Jen Hatmaker. Here's what I've learned in midlife. Joy isn't the reward you earn after all the work is done. Joy is the work. That's what this new series on For the Love is all about. The sacred, yes. It's choosing delight, rest, and pleasure on purpose. Because saying yes to yourself, that's the thing that finally lets you fill your table with everybody else. Come find your sacred yes with me. Follow and listen to For the Love wherever you get your podcasts.
In the nation.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Lucius. It is the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. John Owning's coming up at 4:20. It's time now for a Newsbag Nation with the Chief.
Yeah, I made a promise yesterday, and I'm gonna break that promise right now.
You're rolling with the Newsbag Nation on 105.3 The Fan.
Trust me, this is not something I wanted to do, okay? You know that. I said it yesterday, I said it with my chest, and I said it sincerely. But then the Miami Heat did something so stupid that it had to be talked about.
Dude, stop it.
The internet discovered the Miami Heat posted a scheduled live stream titled LeBron James introductory press conference slated for July 27th on YouTube. It was then quickly deleted, of course, and everybody was saying, okay, is this even real? It was a bunch of screenshots, but it was so loud that everyone got a hold of it, and you have a Miami Heat reporter getting a response from the Heat organization saying that it was a mistake from their social media team in preparation for a potential LeBron signing. They're saying, we don't know that we're getting him. We're just trying to make sure our ducks are in order just in case he does choose us and we can have things ready. There's a lot of internet people that would be in that world that would say, yeah, that's pretty common practice. If you have something that you're waiting for, a shoe to drop, and you want to make sure that everything's buttoned up so that when it does drop, you're ready to rock and roll.
But like promos, if the Cowboys have a playoff game, will create two promos. One, the season is over. The other one, get ready for the divisional round.
Yes.
But I don't think we would actually load that up and have them scheduled to go live in the system until there's resolution.
Oh, yeah, for sure. No, that is where the mistake gets made. Whoever, and it looks like this person has since lost their job.
Oh, no.
And that's where the opportunity arises.
Okay, there was a firing
within ear's reach. It looks like it, because that happened last night, the mistake, where I guess they clicked the right button or they clicked the left button when they should have clicked the right or whatever, and they set this thing up to where people could actually see it. And so everybody's like, oh, no, this person has to be.
Hit publish.
Job now. They hit publish, and they should not have. And so now you're seeing on LinkedIn and a bunch of other places, the Heat are outsourcing, trying to find a new director of YouTube strategy. Okay, so they're on full damage control mode here. And I was gonna
call rollout on this. I thought this was a way of just making it a bigger story in the dead time of sports. You know, like we talk about how the Cowboys dominate the news cycle by dragging things out.
Yeah.
I was going to say that, but if somebody actually lost their job for it, it just seems like incompetence is
huge
the explanation.
Mistake. Because yeah. You know LeBron, I mean, he is the face of player empowerment. Like anytime he's made a career decision to change teams, it's always been on his own accord in terms of the way it gets announced. He's in control of all of that. In no way, shape, or form would he greenlight the Heat doing something like this or any team and announcing something prematurely. He wants to be the one to do that in whatever way he decides to do it. So I don't know how this lands on his lap. Would this be enough to change your mind if, in fact, he was planning on going to Miami? But a true unmitigated disaster, and that person, it does look like, has lost their job.
I feel bad for that guy. I don't know why I do, bro. Yeah, he had to fumble a few more other situations. You just can't be like your first fumble. You out of here because it's LeBron.
It's a big fumble. This is a playoff
fumble.
This is a fourth quarter playoff game kind of fumble though.
Jeez.
And you're not Mr. Fumble guy, but you did it at the most inopportune time. And ultimately, if this ends up, and I don't know, maybe it's crazy to even suggest it, but if this alters LeBron's decision and he doesn't go there, that is a fireball.
It seems a little harsh. And I'll tell you why. We're at DallasCowboys.com. We had this happen where a picture got sent out of the war room and all the phone numbers in the war room.
Oh, no. War room leakage is not what you want.
Yeah. And all the numbers, it was a picture that was taken of the war room. And then all the, I'm just fighting through it.
Together, no, war leakage is not what you want.
I've just
get
got,
it together, bro.
I've just gotten used to just fighting through it.
I'm proud of you, man. We're just out here having a conversation.
Did you need the golf towel that day?
Nah, man. But anyway, but that was a bad day, Dawson. Seriously, man.
Yeah.
That was but
orange juice and soy sauce. Dangerous combination.
Every time. But those numbers got leaked out. Like you could see all the, you know,
the players' numbers,
the draft room numbers and stuff in the
their board
in their yeah. Well, not the board, like their phone bank.
Oh,
all the numbers got
so people
like,
could call in.
Yeah,
wow,
people could call in.
Did they?
They quickly kind of changed some things up, but that got out. But nobody got fired over that.
It was
just an honest mistake. We took a picture and. You know, it just so happens, by the way, the numbers are on this. You notice that? And, oh no, and then you know, we were able to kind of take care of it a little bit.
It might have been last straw, like Lucius was saying, where this
like
guy
the guy's
has a track record.
Yeah.
Why are you even dorking around with that right now? You know, how is this even possible? Like, are you trying to set this up for a future schedule? Like, if you're scheduling it, then that would make me feel like this is a done deal.
I know, because it is the introductory press conference. It's not even like some graphic that you want to make sure our website, we're ready to go. If he announces it, bang, within seconds, we've got it on our own website. You're doing the intro presser, which how could you even have any understanding of when that might be?
Yeah.
Unless you knew.
Yeah.
Because they had it set for July 27th. Like, they knew, I guess whatever day that is, on Monday or something of next week, we're having the intro presser, which is, again, not something LeBron's accustomed to doing. He's not Mr. I sign with a team, and then, like, when he signed with the Lakers, it wasn't an immediate press conference within 48 hours. It was right before the season started. It's your run-of-the-mill media day. That's when he gets introduced. So it's not even something that usually happens. I don't know. But
if he signs with Miami, though, if he signs with Miami,
then it's kind of water under the bridge.
Does that guy get his or gal get her job back?
Doesn't look like it.
It's over.
It seems like there's got to be like an 80% chance LeBron's going to Miami just with this story coming to light this. I'm heavily leaning in that direction.
Yeah, and that's the other thing too, is like all the gambling sites and all the odds now. Like, is there some bigger ploy behind all of this to jack up the gambling aspect?
Oh.
You know, because now everybody's thinking, oh, obviously it's going to Miami. So I mean,
here
I don't
comes
know.
Golden State.
If you're this guy and you get fired and you know LeBron's coming, aren't you doing an exclusive interview?
Yeah. TMZ Sports.
This is weird.
LeBron's going. They told us to prep this up. We were getting it ready. He's coming to the...
Well, because you still have the chance that LeBron just decides to change his mind. Maybe that's the hair splitting that he's doing right now, and it's like, you know what? Forget this. I'll just go back home to Cleveland.
LeBron.
I don't know. It's just a giant mistake for an individual.
How do you not play with Giannis and Bam and go back to Miami? How would you choose Cleveland?
Good question.
I want to play with Donovan Mitchell and James Harden over Giannis and Bam? No.
No, from a basketball standpoint, the Miami thing, in my mind, would make sense.
It's Miami, you're Golden State.
When you're 40-something years old, you don't really want to play much defense. In Miami, you're going to get plenty of that, of help defensively. If you're going to Cleveland, I got to help James Harden play defense. That's not something I necessarily want to sign up to do, but who knows what's going through his mind. A lot of people are thinking he's delaying this because there's a contract date for Anthony Davis that's coming up the first week of August, and they're still trying to get the Anthony Davis thing to Golden State so they can partner there. I don't know. I mean, nobody seems to really know much.
Bro, let that Anthony Davis thing go, bro.
I know. Why do you want to play with five games with Anthony Davis?
So bizarre.
Okay, and we do have the crazy Mariners 1997 double ball eruption, but we'll save that for another day.
Yeah, sure we will.
Or another time.
Wow, I was living in Seattle when that happened, and that was news to me. I guess I just wasn't paying
both
attention.
Both testicles?
Selling my fishing and hunting news.
It's both. It's full-on nut eruption?
Yeah. He got both of them?
Yeah, both of them.
Wow. We got to get to this story. Maybe
I have quotes from this guy.
340, Krusty's Corner. We'll talk ball eruption.
It might be apropos for the next segment with Wolchuk, a mixed bag.
We could throw some ball talk in here. Let's talk some mixed bag, mixed balls, and would you eat this? That's next to the nation.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And we have the podcast Office Ladies. Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories and lots of laughs.
Follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.